grace to you and peace from Christ our risen Lord, who does still the waves and protects us from all danger in life, represented symbolically in the Old Testament by the raging oceans and so on. Please rise. Hope that made sense. I read again these words from today's gospel lesson, where Jesus reaches out his hand to St. Peter and says to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This is God's word. In Jesus' name. This text, whenever it comes up, always resonates with me because, as many of you know, my wife's family has cabins up in the North Woods on the Canadian side of Gunflint Lake. That's up the Gunflint Trail north of Grand Marais. We go up there every summer and sometimes in the winter. Then you can walk on the water, although it's frozen there. That lake, of course, is 8 miles long, about 2 or 3 miles wide, 200 feet deep. It's a big lake. When you get a west wind coming out, the waves can get quite big. And I've been out there some nights in my little 14-foot fishing boat. That's a little terrifying. As the boat's going up and down, the waves come over the bow, and you wonder, where's the north shore? Because you can't see anything, because it's so dark, and then the lightning flashes. You say, wait a minute, I'm going in the wrong direction. I've got to turn around. So this text kind of resonates with me as I see how those disciples must have felt out there on the Sea of Galilee that day. But this text, you know, really is not about proper boating precautions, is it? It has a much more important lesson than that to teach us. It's really about Jesus, isn't it? It's about who Jesus is, who he was, who he should be for us, and hopefully this text will lead us, all of us, to say with the disciples, truly, he is the Son of God. And this text is warning us that when we get into these problems in life and these things over which we seem to have no control, like poor Job did, if you read that book, he loses his family. His wife doesn't love him anymore. He loses all his wealth and property. He loses his health. He starts to wonder, what is God doing? That may happen to you in your life at those points. Jesus is warning us today, don't take your eyes off me. When the winds start to howl around you and you're out on that raging ocean of life, not knowing whether you're going to make it to the other side or not, keep your eyes on Jesus. If you take your eyes off Jesus, then you risk plummeting into the depths beneath the waves. That's what happened to poor Peter, isn't it? So Jesus feeds the 5,000, probably 15,000 people, because it says there were 5,000 men besides women and children. And so they see this amazing miracle, how Jesus feeds all these people like God had done in the Old Testament, right? And certainly Jesus here demonstrates that he is the God who fed his people back there in the Old Testament. They should have known that. So Jesus sends off his disciples, go across the lake, I'll meet you on the other side. So it's the middle of the night, apparently, when suddenly a huge storm blows up, and I'm told in the Sea of Galilee, that can happen very quickly. There's a mountain range all around, and sometimes the winds can off the mountain, and without any warning at all, boom, you're in the middle of a big storm. So it's around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. You can picture the lightning is flashing, the wind is howling. Their little boat, not a big ship, it's a little boat, fishing boat, is going up and down in the waves, the water's splashing over the bow. They're desperately bailing, trying to row, wondering, where's the shore? How are we going to get across? Or St. Matthew puts it, the boat was beaten by the waves. Now, once again, Jesus is not giving us a lesson on how to boat properly in a storm, or that we shouldn't go out on a lake when a storm is brewing, which is probably not a bad idea, but I don't think that's his point here. He was warning his church, that would be us, he was warning his church what she would face as she sailed out into a very hostile world. If you listen to a baptism, we have that little Luther's flood prayer, it's called, and there's a little phrase where Luther says, we put this child into the holy ark of the church. And so in the ancient church, as she sailed out into the Roman Empire, she was going to meet wave after wave after wave of hostility and persecution. Many Christians, you know this story, many Christians were crucified, burned at the stake, beheaded, imprisoned. Their families deserted them. We have a hymn that picks up that theme. O Lord of our life and God of our salvation, see around your ark the hungry billows curling. As the world rains down on the church its hostility and anger. If you are a Christian, and if you are a confessing Christian, then you will face hostility sooner or later from this world, which is not friendly towards the Lutheran Church, let's put it differently, not friendly towards true doctrine and pure practice. Even fellow Christians will criticize you, won't they? And some of these storms we run into as Christians in life, trying to live out our faith, are internal. And some of them are the worst. As we struggle with the storms in our own mind and conscience of our guilt, that sometimes threatens to overwhelm us like a tsunami. And then we get depressed, we get discouraged as we struggle with our old Adam. We look back on our life and we wish we could have done this or done that or said this or said that or not said that or not said this, and we can't change what happened. The disciples probably were thinking that if the Lord was back there on the other side of the lake, they left him behind there, maybe he had forgotten them. Maybe he had forsaken them. They were all alone out there in the lake, being buffeted and blown around by the howling winds. St. Mark makes this very clear in his version of this story, where he points out that Jesus had not forgotten them, seeing them straining at the oars, and you can just see them pulling, trying to get across that lake in that violent storm. About the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by. You know, just like Peter and the other disciples may have been thinking Jesus was back there, and then as they saw him coming towards them, intending to pass them by, perhaps sometimes we think that Jesus has been left behind there in history somewhere. If only he were up here with us today. If only we could see him. If only he would come to us and give us courage and confidence to live a bold Christian life. If only. But he's not back there in history. He's here today with us. Listen to his promise as he prepares to ascend to heaven. Behold, I am, you know it, with you to the end of the age. Or again, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is as close to you and me today as is his word and sacrament, the means that he gave us to assure us that he is with us. In this sacrament, this is not just bread and wine. In a few moments, Jesus will put his risen, glorified body and blood in this bread and wine to assure you he is here today, 21st century, Corcoran, Minnesota, 2017, this morning, August 13th, to assure you at around 11 o'clock, whatever time it will be, that he has not forsaken you or deserted you. He is here to rescue and deliver you. Will you let him pass on by and not pay attention to his word and sacrament through which he wants to comfort you? And so as the winds are howling, the lightning is flashing, and they are pulling desperately in the oars, bailing the water out, hoping to God they'll make it to the other side before they drown, they see a strange sight. As the lightning flashes, they see an apparition going up and down. What was that? I don't see anything. Oh, there it is again. What is that? It looks like somebody walking on the water to us. Who is it? What is it? And they scream out, it's a ghost! Well, that's what I probably would have thought too. Some kind of apparition. When suddenly the apparition cries out to them with words they had heard before. It's me. Stop being afraid. Do you hear Jesus calling you today? When you seem to be overwhelmed by your problems in life, it can be health, it can be financial, I mentioned that last week, it can be any number of things where you feel, where are you, God? Why are you not listening to me? Why don't you do something? And pretty soon our depression, our anger, perhaps our fear, our terror starts to overwhelm us. We don't know what to do. Do you hear Jesus saying to you, I'm here. I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forsaken you. And by the way, His command and His word, don't be afraid, is not just some empty statement, some words floating out there in oblivion somewhere. He is able to take away our fears, isn't He? For He is God. And He proved that to us, not only last week when He fed the 5,000, we should really say the 15,000 maybe, I don't know how many people, but a lot. But He proves it again today. Two miracles right in a row. Will we get the point? As He comes walking on the water. And by the way, if you read the Old Testament, this was something that was characteristic of God. For example, as Job struggled with his problems with in life and where was God, he says in chapter 9, God, You are the one who stretched out the heavens. You have trampled on the waves of the sea. Help me. Your way was through the sea. Your path through the great waters, and yet Your footprints were unseen. And the prophet Habakkuk cries out, God made the storm to be still. The waves of the sea were hushed. O Lord, You trample on the sea with Your footsteps, and You quiet the surging waters. Do you believe that? Did Peter and the disciples believe it? Jesus is as near to you today as He was to that little fishing boat there on the Sea of Galilee centuries ago. He was right there. Of course, St. Peter, one of those fellows never wanted to be gullible and naive, you know, he's that kind of guy, questions the apparition. Lord, if it's really You, tell me to come out to You on the water. And the ghost tells him to come. And you see Peter now stepping gingerly over the side of the boat, puts his foot on the water, and it's not Minnesota in January. And then he steps out the other side, and it's solid as a rock. This is amazing. And he's going up and down on the waves, and up and down. He takes a few steps towards Jesus, when suddenly he sees a big wave rolling towards him, 4 or 5 feet high perhaps. And what happens? He takes his eyes off Jesus. And the text says he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he screams out, Lord, help me, save me. Today, Jesus is as near to us as He was to St. Peter. Wherever His word and sacrament are present, there is Jesus. To neglect the means of grace, to not listen to His gospel, to not use the Lord's Supper, is to take your eyes off Jesus. Do you get the point? And when you do that, then you run into the danger of sinking between the swirling waters of depression and problems, and we all go through it, and someday perhaps even to sink into the depths of eternal alienation and damnation before God. This is what happens when we take our eyes off Jesus. And we see only the storms and the howling winds. Jesus heard Peter's plaintive cry, Lord, save me. And He says to Peter, serves you right. I hope you drown there. You should have believed in me. That's what He should have said. No, He doesn't. Quietly and meekly reaches out His hand. He doesn't wait for Peter to come to Him. He reaches out and grabs Peter's hand and pulls him out of the water. And then He says quietly, why did you doubt me? Our risen Lord today wants to reach out to you and me today to comfort and assure us. And how does He do that? He does it through His word and sacrament. And when we come to church here on Sunday with our problems and our anger and our doubts, we hear our Lord saying to us, why do you doubt me? And then He invites us up to His altar where He touches us in this mouth that questioned His goodness, maybe got angry at somebody and swore at them or whatever people do these days. And He puts His body and blood in that mouth and says, stop being afraid. I haven't forgotten you. I'm with you always to the end of the age. And He is able to save us. Indeed, He has already done it, has He not? Crucified and put in the grave. On the third day, His Father raises Him from the dead. He is alive. He can be here. Indeed, He is here. His promise is true. I will never leave you or forsake you. And whoever calls on Jesus' name, Paul reminds us, will be saved. You know, it is clear as you read this text that Peter's problem was not due to Jesus' unwillingness to help him. It was not due to the fact that Jesus did not have the authority or the power or ability to deliver him. His problem, his fear, his terror, it was all due to his vacillating confidence and faith. As Jesus quietly reproves him, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt me?" Do you hear Jesus saying that to you and me today? As we worry, we're anxious and depressed about this problem or that problem. Some of them are very serious. Understand that. Some of you are going through it right now. Things you don't know if you'll make it through it or not. You hear Jesus saying to you today, "Why do you doubt me? Stop being so afraid and so worried." It's interesting, the word that Matthew uses for doubt here is used only twice in the New Testament. It's used here. "Why did you doubt me?" And guess where else it's used? As Jesus prepares to ascend to heaven following the resurrection. And his disciples gathered there to hear the Great Commission, "Go make disciples." It says some of them doubted him. Is that true of us today? That in this congregation there are some of you who have firm confidence in Jesus. You know he'll take care of you. But some of you, you kind of doubt the whole business. Has Jesus forgotten you today? Has not Jesus already conquered your sin? Has he not conquered the death and the devil and hell when he was crucified? And did not God the Father raise him on the third day? Do we not shout that back and forth during the Easter season? "The Lord is risen, he is risen indeed, hallelujah." Do we mean it or not? And do we not believe that God the Father has received the risen Lord Jesus back to his right hand of power and glory, where he now sits in power as the Lord and King of the entire universe? "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" So when the winds howl in your life, and they will, and the waves mount up against you, and if they haven't already, they certainly will, don't take your eyes off Jesus. Hold on to his gospel. Go to his holy supper. Live in your baptism. Here in these means of grace, these blessed means of grace, your risen Lord Jesus is there for you to comfort you and pull you out of the water and lift you up. He is right there to rescue you forever, bring you safely to the other side. Will we not then respond with the disciples as the Lord hopes we will do today? Surely, Jesus is the Son of God. And then pray as we did in the introit today. "I sought the Lord. He answered me. He has delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Let's not wait to say that until Judgment Day. Let's say it now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.